pericope for this morning comes from Luke chapter 10, the parable of the Good Samaritan. In the name of Jesus, amen. I must admit that I was quite excited when I saw I was going to be preaching on this text. The Good Samaritan is perhaps the most well-known story in the entire Bible. In the church, we have all heard countless sermons and countless Bible studies on it. And even outside the church, we have Good Samaritan laws, Good Samaritan hospitals, and all of us probably have someone in our life, if we're lucky, who we could call a Good Samaritan. But despite this cultural saturation, or perhaps because of it, we often miss the point of this parable. So this morning, we're going to take another look at the words of our Lord and pay careful attention to what he says. Let us then hear the words, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, and hear what Jesus has to say to us and who we are in this parable. Now, in this morning's text, there are two speakers. We have a lawyer and Jesus. The lawyer is an expert in Jewish law and probably a very wise man. Jesus was actually just speaking about such people four verses before our text begins. Jesus prays, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. In fact, this lawyer thought himself so wise that he decided to challenge Jesus. Our text says, he stood up, that is the lawyer, to put him to the test. The Greek word used here for test is the Greek word ekperazo. Now this word is only used one other time in Luke's gospel, when Satan tests Jesus in the wilderness. This should tell us something about the lawyer's intentions. He is not coming to Jesus as a friend, but as an enemy. Jesus, of course, knows this and sees right through the lawyer's intent. So he answers the lawyer's question with another question, forcing the lawyer to answer his own question. The lawyer asks, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus responds, What is written in the law? How do you read it? Jesus points the lawyer back to the scriptures. The lawyer, being the expert in the law that he is, quotes from Deuteronomy and Leviticus, saying, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he is right. Jesus affirms this. You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. Jesus turns the table on the lawyer by turning him back to the scriptures. Through the scripture, he points out that following the law is required for leading for eternal life, to inherit eternal life. But that is the trouble we humans have. We cannot fulfill the law. But we need to justify ourselves. We try to lower the bar of the law. We try to make it easier, something we can keep since it is so impossible to keep. We say things like, I only get drunk on the weekends, or I don't get angry at my family too often, or I'm nice to those who deserve it. And this is exactly what the lawyer does today in the text. The lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? The lawyer, like us, knows that he should love his family, his priest, and his fellow Israelites. But he figures, surely there is somebody that I don't have to love as myself. First to mind, he would have thought of the Gentile Romans who conquered Israel. Certainly, I shouldn't love the enemies of Israel. Or perhaps, what about the town prostitute? How could I possibly love such a sinful woman? The first century Jews and this lawyer alike often would have defined neighbor simply as anyone who was a fellow Israelite and was a pious man or individual. In the eyes of many Jews of the first century, the worst sinners of them all were the Samaritans. The Samaritans disobeyed the law of God. They intermarried with sinful Gentiles. How could anyone love such traitorous sinners? The lawyer would have thought that the Samaritans are people worthy of being despised, enemies of the Jews. But let us not write off the lawyer too quickly, because we often are that lawyer. We know we should love our family, but what about that stoner kid in our son's class? We know we should love our brothers and sisters in the church, but what about those Muslims who seem to hate us so much? And we know that we should love and support our troops, but what about the gay community? This is a hard law to keep. Who can keep it? The lawyer knows that he cannot keep it. And on top of that, this entire conversation, he has been dishonest. He comes to test Jesus, and then he tries to justify his own wicked heart by modifying the law of God. Because of the lawyer's intent, Jesus doesn't give the lawyer a simple, straight answer. Instead, he responds to the question, "Who is my neighbor?" with this parable. Now, I invite you to look along with me in your bulletin. We will be reading through verses 30 through 35 together. And while we're reading, I want you to think about your presuppositions coming into this text. And we're going to pay close attention to what Jesus has to say. Ponder who you are in this parable and who the lawyer is. Verse 30. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. This man isn't just injured. He's half dead. He doesn't have a bruise or a sprain. But if he does not get help, he will die. He is so bad off that it is very possible that a passerby might even mistake him for being dead. Now we look at verses 31 through 32. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to that place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Now the priest and the Levite were two people that this lawyer could identify with. They were Israelites, they were upstanding members of society, and they were members of the religious establishment. When they came and saw this half-dead man lying on the road, they probably found themselves in a predicament. If they touched a dead man, they would become ritually unclean. And for both the priest and the Levite, it was very important for them to remain ritually clean. They had to fulfill their duties in the temple and the synagogue, and if they were unclean, they could not do that. When they saw the half-dead man, they likely thought to themselves that man is already dead, or if he isn't already dead, he will die along the way. So they just pass by on the other side. Now we look at verse 33. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. First, I want to remind you that this parable takes place in Judea. That means this Samaritan is traveling in enemy territory among people who hate and despise him. Also, I want you to take note of the word compassion. The Greek word used here is splagizomai. It is a very, very theologically significant word. Only God has splagizomai. Now, verse 34. He, the Samaritan, went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Here the Samaritan binds up the man's wounds, pouring oil on his wounds to soothe the pain, and pouring wine on the wounds to cleanse them. The Samaritan is willing to make himself unclean, both physically and figuratively. He is caring for this wrecked person in a very real way, dealing with the wounds, cleansing them with his own hands, and bandaging him with his own hands. He then takes the man to an inn, which, interestingly, the word for inn used here in the Greek means the place that receives all people. I just want you to keep that in mind. Okay, let's finish up the parable, verse 35. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to an innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." Remember, this whole parable is in response to the lawyer's question, "Who is my neighbor?" And what's the obvious answer to this question? How do we usually interpret the parable? Everyone is my neighbor. But is that actually what Jesus says in the parable? Look at how Jesus twists the question around. The lawyer asks, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus responds, "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" The lawyer said, "The one who showed him mercy." The Samaritan is the neighbor in the story. So who is the Samaritan? Well, the Samaritan was traveling in a land of people who hated and despised him. Who came to a world who hated and despised him? The Samaritans were hated for mixing with Gentiles. Who was hated by the Pharisees for mixing with Gentiles and sinners? The Samaritan helped the dead man, the half-dead man, at his own expense, binding up his fatal wounds. Who saves his enemies at his own expense, cleansing them? Who is the Good Samaritan? It's Jesus. It's not you. It's not me. It's not Mother Teresa. It's Jesus. So who is the lawyer in the parable? Is he the Levite and the high priest who sees the half-dead man and just walks by on the other side of the road? Jesus does not even allow the lawyer to consider this answer. When the lawyer asks, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus answers, "The Good Samaritan is your neighbor." And that makes you the beaten man. You are the beaten man I have compassion on. You are the beaten man who is in need of a savior. The lawyer has failed to keep the law of God, as he himself has realized. He loves neither his neighbor nor God. He is half dead, unable to help himself in any way. But the Samaritan comes to a land that is hostile to him, to a people who hate and despise him for mixing with Gentiles and sinners, and he has compassion on that man. He bandages the half-dead man and cleanses him. Then the Samaritan pays the entire cost of that man's salvation himself. Jesus does not do this only for the lawyer, an indignant man who had challenged the Christ, but he does this for you. You were going down a road when you fell amongst sin. Addiction, foolishness, selfishness, envy. You were robbed by sin, beaten, stripped, and left for dead. Religious men came by, perhaps a pastor or a church elder, and they saw you, and they said to themselves, "That man is probably as good as dead. I can't be seen with him. I can't dirty myself." But Jesus came, hated and despised, and had compassion on you, his enemy. In your baptism, Jesus bandaged you with his righteousness. He soothed your wound with a forgiving and promising word. He cleansed your wounds with the sprinkling of his own blood. Through the waters of baptism, he lifted you up and carried you to the inn, the church, the place that receives all people. Not just Jews and the righteous, but sinners and Gentiles as well. And he entrusts you to the care of the innkeeper, whom he has made a steward of his flock. Pastor delivers to you every Sunday the gifts of Jesus' labor on the cross when he preaches the word and gives to you the very body and blood of Christ. We asked, "Who is our neighbor?" Jesus responded, "I am your neighbor. I am the one who had compassion on you. I am the one who has shown you mercy. You go and do likewise." As Christians, we no longer have to ask the questions that the lawyer asked. The lawyer wanted to know who his neighbor was so that he could justify himself and inherit eternal life. We know that God has become our neighbor, so that God could love us, and that God has fulfilled the law for us on our behalf. Now that we have received the compassion of our good Samaritan, Jesus Christ, we do not ask the question, "Who is our neighbor?" but we ask, "To whom can I be a neighbor? To whom can I show mercy? Who is lying dead in sin on the side of the road? Who hates and despises me, but needs Jesus? Who needs to be brought to the church where Christ's gifts are distributed? Is it a family member? Is it the stoner kid in your son's class? Is it your Muslim coworker or the lobbyist who seeks to dismantle the church? We have the good news. We know who the Good Samaritan is and what he has done for us. The people who despise us, who hate us, who are our enemies, they too are beaten and broken, lying on the side of the road, dead in sin, and they too need Jesus. Jesus gave up his life for us. And he is alive, and he will come again. Amen. you may rise for the singing of the offertory.